Kitty Rhodes, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, is leading the fight in Wisconsin to confront dementia in new and different ways. Why? Because by 2040, the number of dementia patients in Wisconsin will more than double to 242,000. Secretary Rhodes, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thank you for this opportunity.
Let me ask you this. As you survey the health issues out over the next 20 years that Wisconsin will face, where does dementia rank, ma'am?
Well, there are comments everywhere that globally, dementia is the largest public health epidemic in the world.
In the world.
And right after we called our summit to develop our infrastructure, on the G8 called theirs. Oh. I'm like, wow, we really set the course for them, didn't we? But this isn't just isolated. This is everywhere. So we're not in it alone. We're not unique. And as we talk about the aging population, and we've talked about that for many years, our state's not aging more rapidly than any other state. It's our geographical distribution.
Yep.
Of the aging population tends to be up in the northern area.
Yeah, let's talk about that. But first, let's look at the stats from your agency. Last year, 115,000 Wisconsin residents had dementia. And as Al Castro, who works with Hispanics in Milwaukee, says, yeah, but those are the ones that
we know
just diagnosed.
Yeah.
And by 2040, the residents with dementia expected to increase to 242,000. Between 2015 and 2040, Wisconsin residents 65 and older will grow by 72%, or 640,000. And then finally, as you just alluded to, by 2040, 18 counties will have at least 33% of their populations age 65 and older.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got that map in front of us.
Right.
This speaks about a regional disparity, doesn't it?
Well, we've talked about this just even when we were talking about long-term care, that this is, you know, reflective of, this is vacation land. This is a lot of lack of internet services up there. So when the kids go off to college, they don't want to come back to where their cell phone doesn't work. The business opportunities for employment are less up there because of the lack of infrastructure. So it's a geographical challenge that we'll be facing and that we're fortunately well aware of. And I think it's important to note that while an individual can have dementia, it doesn't necessarily mean they have Alzheimer's. Sure. Alzheimer's is one root cause.
It's the largest single,
of dementia.
Yes.
But we still have
Thank
vascular.
Yes.
We still have those other versions of it. But it's coming, and we know it. And so part of acknowledging that is saying, okay, what do we do to help these individuals remain comfortable and safe in their communities? And so how do we do that? What do we need? How do we go about that? And so as we know, about 3 years ago, we called the summit, because I said, I don't have a plan. It's obvious that our delivery system for dementia is not right. And so we need to start over. But I don't know what it should look like. And so we called together 34 individuals who each touched the life of a dementia patient in some fashion, from law enforcement to judicial to caregivers to hospitals to everything. I said, okay, start from scratch. You have a clean slate. Don't get hung up on, I can't do that. How are you going to pay for it? What do we need to do to deal with this issue? Because we know it's coming. And so they divided into very clear areas. We need more awareness. We need more education. We need dementia or age-friendly communities.
Mm-hmm.
We need better crisis response. And we need to have a place for individuals who are in crisis.
But doesn't this graphic, which I find pretty stunning, doesn't it paint a picture of two separate Wisconsins? Those that have the services available to respond and help those with dementia, and perhaps in the urban areas, and those that don't in northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, just because you're urban doesn't necessarily mean the resources are there. We're building them. And so this is a reflection of our age population, but not necessarily that they're getting less care or different care. So one of the reasons that we did the online training is to be able to provide affordable training for individuals who involved in any aspect of a dementia individual's life, particularly caregivers. You know, I have my loved one at home. What do I do?
Right.
And so, you know, with the University of Oshkosh, we developed the online training. We did mini crisis training, not, you know, law enforcement intervention, but what happens when my loved one starts to get agitated? How do we do this? So all of that's available, and people are, you know, accessing that. The other thing that we did is...
Yeah, hold that book up.
This is, when they told me we were going to do age-friendly communities or dementia-friendly communities, I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to work. This is an excellent, the response to this has been incredible. And it has very specific things. If I own a restaurant or work in a restaurant, what can I do? It's interesting, you know, the big black rugs that most businesses put in front of their door in the wintertime, that to an individual with dementia comes across as a hole.
Right.
So that's not helpful. If you look at, for those of us who are in the elite aging community group.
Elite aging community group, thank you.
If we look at the 55 plus menu, you may notice there's only like five things on there. That's easiest for an individual to handle. If I'm in a bank, so this is amazing. And the biggest trick with this.
So how can somebody get that?
Well, online.
Okay.
It's limited copies. This was funded by a grant, so we have limited hard copies, but it's available online, and it's very easy to use. The trick was going to be, how do we get it out there? And so I thought, well, if I put it in the public health departments, no offense to public health, but it will be viewed as another government program, it will never have enough money, and it's not going to work right. So I called AARP and asked if they would partner with us, because each community has to build their own program based off their resources, what their people need. So AARP and DHS did three teletown halls with the AARP membership. We had 43,000 people on the call saying, where is it? What do I do? How can you help me with this? It's been incredible.
That speaks to how relevant and how big an issue it is.
So if you go now, if you go out into communities and you see a business that has the purple angel on the door, that means we get it.
We're a business-friendly community.
We're a dementia-friendly community.
I'm sorry, excuse
me. It's safe.
Thank you for the correction.
It's safe here.
Yes.
We also have available online, and this one surprises a lot of people, an employer's toolkit. First of all, if I'm an employer, why do I care if you're a caregiver? Well, here's the impact that it can have on your business. This is the days off, the hours missed, et cetera. So the toolkit gives very specific things an employer can do to be a dementia-friendly employer. Like, can there be a place where they can go make quick phone calls to confirm doctor's appointments? Can they Skype home to see if mom is eating lunch or has mom gotten out of bed? But it also includes an outreach letter that they can send to their employees. And we did this. Every government agency sent it to all of our employees, and it says, dear whatever, are you caring for someone who falls or gets their meds mixed up? Click here, and it takes them into our caregiver webpage. So we did all of the state government, we did the tech colleges, we did the UW system, and we did DPI. I don't think any other state has done employer outreach like that. And personally, the response I got back from my employees was, thank you for thinking of me as more than just a worker. The timing is perfect. When can I get more? And mostly, thank you.
As you know, and we discussed this, 7 in 10 residents with dementia in Wisconsin live in their own homes or in rental units.
Mm-hmm.
What are the physical implications if that were reversed and if that 7 or 10 had to be in
assisted living?
Hospitals or
it would definitely have an impact.
Is there enough money in the world to pay for that?
The world
is
too broad. In the whole world, yeah.
Okay, I understand. But is there enough money? Are there enough financial resources in Wisconsin?
Well, and that's the whole purpose, you know, of any of our long-term care programs, including dementia, keeping you in your community as long as you're safe and well cared for. And you know what? That's where they want to be. That's where they want to be. You know, as in any long-term care issue, there's the compendium of care. Some people are safer and better cared for in a 24/7 facility. We acknowledge that. But we need to put the focus on keeping you comfortable, safe, and accepted in your own community. And so the response to this has been incredible. But you know what's even more interesting, or equally as interesting, is how many kids are in families that are dealing with dementia. And so we put together a curriculum that DPI is partnering with us, and we've been piloting it, that can be used in junior high and up. It can be used as a science class. Here's what actually happens with the brain, or as part of their health program. But it talks about, what do I do when Grandpa accuses me of stealing his stuff? There's a book that I did outreach to a children's book publisher, and I said, this is a new opportunity for you. Mm-hmm. We need to help kids understand what's happening with grandma. Why doesn't grandma know who I am anymore? And so the impact is amazing. And I was really proud of the fact that DPI partnered so willingly with us to get this curriculum available.
You've talked about the major initiatives and changes, and there has been a revolution in how Wisconsin is starting to approach this.
And we're being acknowledged nationally for it as well.
What about the funding? Has the funding matched this, or has it
been? You know what the beauty was? It's organic. We didn't have to go for statutory change. We didn't come before the legislature to say we need money. This has been, we help you with the tools, communities build it. It has been a novel approach for government to use like this, but it has been incredibly successful because it's organic.
We've done some interviews on this issue, and some people say Minnesota has actually funded the local programs better. Is that true?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Okay. There's always comparisons to Minnesota, especially where I live. I live in Hudson.
That's right.
We're compared
you live in
all
Hudson
the time.
Right across.
But I think the sustainability of ours is based off the fact that it's not reliant on GPR. It's reliant on the local community's investment that they make for themselves.
Which gets me to my next question. When you deal with dementia, what are the funding responsibilities of the federal government, state government?
Funding locals? Responsibilities?
Yes. We're looking at doubling of dementia patients in Wisconsin. There are fiscal questions that dog that. The funding responsibilities, Fed, state, locals, NGOs, families?
I think it hasn't come up that way yet. I think more of the funding is what are we doing about long-term care, but I don't yet see the specific issues on dementia. Probably the best funding is research funding.
Research funding. What have you heard about research? Do you talk to researchers who say we think we'll have a cure or focus on delaying onset for 5 years?
I think both would be a celebration. We did work with RAP this morning. They're doing a documentary on the research that they're doing. And they do research studies and testing on children, adult children of people who had dementia, mm-hmm. Testing their proteins and whatever. The film that they're coming out with, and I don't know when it's going to be ready, is called Will I Be Next? Well, that's a title that will get your attention.
Yes.
But so I think it's important, even there, to begin to understand how does this get passed on? What are the factors? And once you understand that, and you can isolate and identify that, you're probably closer to being able to come up with the ways that either delay or prevent a cure. But that's the one message that is kind of missing in the diagnosis of Alzheimer's or dementia is hope.
Do you think efforts like this have been successful in reducing, I didn't say eliminating, the stigma to dementia?
Yes, I do, because of the fact that, for example, memory cafes, that clearly sends a message. We accept and value you. That hasn't been there 5 years ago.
I hear people, as we do the interviews on the issue, that are worried about the funding of ADRCs, Aging and Disability
Resource
Centers. Should they be worried about those funding?
No, because that's a commitment in our long-term care program.
It is. Mm-hmm. But you're redesigning the long-term care program. Mm-hmm. You're holding public hearings, and you have to submit to the feds. There are people that are worried about that redesign is going to squeeze programs for dementia. Should they be worried?
That's not our intent. The redesign of family care is to integrate the program and put together the long-term care and the managed health care, including behavioral. The ADRCs are the point of entry,
yes,
and will be.
What about the Assembly passed package on dementia? Do you support it? One thing it does is it adds dementia care specialists for counties with populations of 250,000 or less. Now, am I correct? It only adds four?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you support the Assembly passed package? Well, should the Senate pass it?
Lobbying. No, I haven't registered.
No, it's a question.
No, we worked very closely with the task force. They were very interested. They went on the road.
Yes.
They visited these sites. They did these things. We worked with them to ensure that they would enhance what has already been put in place. And they were, this is a bipartisan effort that I think has really been encouraging. Everybody loves a dementia specialist, and that's a good thing.
They sure do.
Yes, and so even you can become your own little mini dementia specialist by taking our training and learn then what you need to know. One of the items in there is the funding for DHS to buy a license for the virtual dementia
simulation
tour.
Have you done that
I've
simulation?
Done it.
I have.
How'd you do?
It's one of the scariest things I've ever...
How'd you do?
Can we move on? How did you do?
Well, they complimented me that I got more tasks completed. So this helps you actually experience dementia.
Yes.
They
tape your fingers together. They put special goggles on
you,
special headphones. They put something in your shoes.
To make them hurt. Weights on your ankle.
Yes.
A white noise in your ears, and then take you into a
mini... There's sirens in your ears. There's lots, there's everything.
Apartment, and they hold up a paper and give you tasks to do.
Four tasks.
Well,
sort this laundry. Go ahead.
They told me I completed more than they've had other people do. And I said, that's because I'm farther down the journey than you are. We had some with us who refused to do anything. They just paced the room and waited to escape. And I went, And we had one who was reduced to tears because it scared the daylights out of her.
Well,
but we're going to be able to provide that training. I'm not sure in what settings, but that's a step forward because that helps build awareness of what this is like.
I had to go to Jefferson County to do the simulation. It's not yet widespread, so people who
right.
really want to walk a mile in the shoes of someone with dementia, are they going to be able to take that simulation?
Well,
because it's a powerful learning tool.
We're trying to get as much of it out there as we can. The nursing home industry during their conference does it for 2 days and with caregivers there, which I think is really important. And they set up two little mini apartments and they run as many people through as they can do because it is so powerful. And you know, we have to work within the restrictions of the license, so
yes.
we have to figure out if we get one what that will be.
Isn't dementia and fighting it really on two planes? One is it's a health issue, diagnosis, treatment, long-term care in hospitals, and the other is the social service component, early ID, caregiver mm-hmm. support, crisis intervention. So how do you balance that? How does the state balance it with in partnership with the locals' ADRCs?
Well, the ADRCs are our contractor.
Locally, to provide, yes.
Yes, yes. So the contract very specifically lays out, you know, this is what, and the biggest thing is getting maybe more screening available. Not everybody's going to come to an ADRC and say, I think our family's in a dementia journey. So getting into the medical community is one of the bigger challenges to say, what's the connection here?
Does that mean you're not yet into the medical community to the extent that you want?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not
well,
yet.
You mentioned screening. If someone suspects that themselves or a loved one needs to be screened, do they have the ability now to be screened in every region of Wisconsin?
I believe so.
Really?
I believe so. When we're talking like with the medical community, you know, there's an old tradition of don't prescribe if you can't treat. So getting over that is one. the other issue is that's a tough diagnosis to deliver to somebody. And what do they do with it? So if I'm just being told, okay, we think you have early onset dementia, what do you give them?
Right.
What's next? Where do you go? The Alzheimer's Association has little card that they're trying to get in, for example, with any prescription that's being filled that is related to dementia would have this in there. And it's got a caregiver national 24-hour hotline. Here's where I can go for help.
Mm-hmm.
You call and your local association then will reach out to you. That's, you know, there's all these different ways of trying to reach out, getting to the right people, because not everybody is going to come to an ADRC. First of all, maybe not until they actually need it. And there's all these things that maybe we could have helped with beforehand.
What's the DHS's plan to really come up alongside caregivers? Because they say, I want to keep my loved one in their home as long as possible. And that is so, so much cheaper than
mm-hmm.
putting them in
mm-hmm.
an institution. So what's DHS's plan to come up alongside and offer respite care and other help to caregivers?
Well, again, the additional funding for respite is in the dementia package.
That's a million of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, has been some available through the programs before. Not all of this is going to be able to be done by the state alone. This is going to be partnerships. This is going to be, you know, local communities acknowledging we can play a role here. We can offer respite. Here's how this can work. There's, you know, it's acknowledging that, as always, we are all in this together, and how do we meet the needs in each community?
Who are the biggest potential partners there? Counties or local cities and villages? Or all of the above?
All of the above.
What's the role of NGOs? Like you mentioned, the Alzheimer's Association. We talked to their executive director.
The NGO.
Non-governmental organization.
Oh, I would say national governors
organization? No, excuse me. Non-governmental organization.
You know, they are...
Nonprofits. Excuse me.
We're so early in the journey, considering, you know, we just started this 3 years ago.
I know.
And so to look back and say where we are now is incredible of what's all been accomplished, particularly when you look at, we don't own it. It's organic, so it's taking ownership. We see that that relationship with not-for-profits is coming as the communities build their infrastructure. And people are saying, this is our role in this. This is how we fit in. And instead of us telling them, which tends to not go well, they're finding it and stepping up and say, here's how we help. Here's what we can do.
And those that run these nonprofits are out there saying, will there be money coming with the expectation that we do more to help those with dementia? Because one of the guiding principles in DHS is, healthcare costs are not sustainable at current levels.
I think if anybody thinks there's going to be a money tree growing that's going to be called the dementia tree, no.
So then what should be their plan B, C, and D to fund these local? You have an expectation to partner with these
local
groups.
Well, so, you know, if we were telling them this is what your role is, then they're going to say, okay, where's my money? But if they're saying here's our role, that's very different, because then they tend to build with what they have and the resources that are available in their community, or redirecting some of what they're currently doing.
So Dementia Capable, which is the redesign that you've authored, mm-hmm. assumes that most of this programming should be done by locals in partnership with the state? Fair or unfair?
I don't think they need us in most of it. We do some of the ADRC dementia specialists who then go into the communities and help with the tech supports, et cetera, which is appropriate. That's appropriate. So I believe our role is the toolkits, the tech support, supplying. We use our staff to help you as a community identify where you're going, what you want to do, and how to get there.
Some of the things that I've been amazed doing interviews on this is African Americans are two times as likely to get dementia. Hispanics, mm-hmm. 1.5 times as likely. What have been some of the biggest surprises as you have tackled this on? Because you've been a champion of this. Surprises that you found?
Well, you know, there's the health disparities tend to be there in almost every disease that we look at. So were we expecting this would be different? No,
okay.
Not really. You know, it's interesting. We have our Southern Center for the Developmentally Disabled is doing music and memory with their residents mm-hmm. and collecting data on the impact of dementia on individuals with developmental disabilities, particularly the Downs individual, because the onset is much earlier there as well. So I think we are the only state who will be having that kind of data on the impact of developmentally disabled as it relates to this disease, which is a population we tend to forget about.
Yes.
When we're talking about health disparities.
You're into this new redesign, 3 years, as you mentioned. You've been largely pleased. What hasn't gone as well as you had hoped?
Getting access to crisis beds.
Getting access to crisis beds?
Yes, that okay. is a challenge. It's a real challenge. There's a lot of new rules that are coming from the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, CMS, mm-hmm. that make it really challenging to be able to address this situation. And so finding the facilities that are capable of doing this, being able to make it enough economy of scale that we can make it work, figuring out how to get it paid for within the rules of the new rules of CMS, those are the challenges. So for example, my county specifically, is in the process of building a new nursing home. And they wanted to put up two CBRFs, one specifically for dementia crisis, but CMS won't approve it because it's on government land and too close to another government building, and it would share staff with the nursing home. I'm like, so what?
I don't understand that objection.
Well,
is that two of us?
It's more than two of us.
Which leads me to a bigger question. Federal government, have they been a full partner in fighting dementia?
We nationally haven't gone to them.
You haven't?
No.
Okay. Is there any additional federal money that Wisconsin
We look for that whenever we can. So this toolkit is a grant from the CDC on Healthy Brain. So I thought that was a pretty creative use of that grant money. Mm-hmm. So we do look for those opportunities to be able to utilize those monies that are available. But we haven't really seen this yet being as big on the radar for them as it is for us.
Does every county need a dementia care specialist? The reason I ask is they're concentrated in urban areas, and you need special dementia care specialists for Hispanics and African Americans.
Well, Milwaukee. They're concentrated in the ADRCs.
In the ADRCs.
Is where we put them. So that's not singular counties. They're a regional consortium. And the purpose of a dementia specialist is to train others.
Yes.
Or to help or show them where to go for training, but not to be the actual provider. They're the technician. And so is it getting one in each ADRC? Yeah. But it was my intention that we would use the budget money to say, listen, we're not going to be able to keep funding individuals and say, okay, one more with another new person. So use this money to be able to figure out within the ADRCs, how do we reorganize or restructure and grow our own? Because we can't keep relying on anything we want to do is going to get new funding. So how can we start growing our own? If we now have had ADRCs for about 20 years, is it time do we reorg? Do we talk about where does this fit now? Maybe the dementia specialist is the more important. Can you retrain this person? Mm-hmm. How do we use what we have and be able to meet the changing needs?
The overall redesign that the agency is holding public hearings on and working on and must submit to the feds. When I talk to professionals working with dementia, they're very worried that the emphasis on dementia is going to be reduced by this redesign. Can you assure them that it won't be?
Why would we do that?
That's a no, right?
I don't have that plan.
Okay.
Change is hard, particularly in healthcare, because everybody's afraid they're going to get less than they currently have. I think that's probably an example of that kind of fear.
What do you hope to recommend in your next budget dealing with dementia? You'll be submitting your new budget pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Pretty soon. What do you hope to recommend?
I think the beauty of this so far is that we haven't had to do that. When you've visited many of our programs, you've seen the impact in the communities. We didn't ask them for anything. My goal is to see how do we continue that, because we really cannot continue to rely on new dollars to initiate programs that we know we need to do. We need to find out within the resources we have available, how do we do this?
But I'm also concerned about the map we looked at earlier, where mm-hmm. much of northern Wisconsin is going to be a lot older by 2040, which means they will have more cases of
some of us will
dementia.
Have that even if we don't live up there.
But when you overlay a map of medically underserved areas over this, they coincide. But anyway, okay, last question. What's your advice to someone who's healthy now, but because of genetic factors or age, they're worried about getting dementia?
Well, one of the things that I have learned from researchers is it's important to establish your own baseline. Where am I now? And so there's different, one was name as many animals as you can in 2 minutes. How many is that? 6 months later, try it again. Mm-hmm. So you have some own awareness of, am I just having a senior moment or am I next?
Yeah.
And the awareness of there are the more you exercise, the better you are. There's the factors that contribute, as it does to any healthy aging thing. You need to be well aware of those too.
And Wisconsin overall in the last 3 years is come a long way confronting and dealing with the issue of dementia. Right? Takeaway?
Very much. Probably more than any other state in the country, to my knowledge. You remember when I was here in the beginning, and we had the Supreme Court ruling regarding putting dementia patients in psychiatric hospitals. I called around to my peers, and they said, we don't have that. And once again, Wisconsin, you're either going to lead the way or you're going to go down in flames. We chose the former, not the latter. And I think we've done it.
Thank you. Kitty Rhodes, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, thank you for the update.
Thank you.
Very much appreciate it. Thanks.